Hi everyone, and welcome to Boost Her, conversations designed to inspire you, me, and her. I'm your host, Nia Mason, and I am so excited to welcome all of you to our celebration of Black History Month. We kick off this month of celebration with my good friend and technical recruiter, Ashley Booker, joining us in the Booster Club to educate us on all things around recruitment hiring, as well as the world of tech as it relates to her role. Ashley boasts a very impressive resume throughout her career as a Google alum, a Facebook alum, as well as a few other notable giants within the tech industry. Ashley talks to us about how she has made her way up through the ranks, but has ultimately found her home as a welcomed and very important voice at Stripe, a startup company centered around building an economic infrastructure for the internet. In this conversation with Ashley, we learn what her role entails, and we even get some industry tips from the ground floor around salary negotiation. Ashley talks to us about the ups and downs that come with being a Black woman in the tech space, and how it is a priority for her to find positives within her role, as it is a role amongst the front lines to incorporate diversity and newness into the world of tech. Lastly, we learn why Ashley finds it important to amplify and welcome minority voices in tech, and why she cherishes her experience as a Black woman to be not only beautifully rare, but an experience in which she takes the ultimate amount of pride.
You are the first technical recruiter to join us here in the Booster Club. I'm not only so excited to have you here on a personal level as my friend, but I'm excited to learn in more detail what you do and also for my listeners to hear your story. From our conversations, I have an idea in my mind of what you do, but if someone were to ask me to take what's in my head and voice it, I might get a little bit stuck. For someone like me that makes up my own ideas of what goes into your role based on some of what you tell me, can you talk about what it is people think you do as a recruiter versus what it is you actually do?
Yeah, a lot of people hear the word recruiter and automatically go to like HR, which is not what I do. I don't deal with workplace harassment or any HR related things. It's part of human resources umbrella, but I'm mainly finding and hiring talented people for a specific technical area. So I like to equate it to like fishing or hunting, where I'm just like on the internet a majority of the day, searching LinkedIn or job posts or resumes for people that can work in the software engineering fields for some of the teams that I hire for. So a lot of my day is spent sourcing, is what we call it, basically finding people, reaching out to people, sending exciting emails to get them to open it up. Getting a response is a big part of what I do. Response rates are important. And then I walk them through closing them to like do compensation packages and talk about benefits and deal with people that want to make a lot of money and try and squeeze every little dollar they can out of me, but it's not my money. So that's an interesting thing.
Coming at the beginning, you sort of initiate the process, and then they obviously go through the interview process, which is without you. And then you come back in at the end to kind of close it all up.
Yes, we call it full cycle, the full cycle recruiting process.
You're from San Diego, which is where we met while I was playing basketball there. And as a collegiate basketball player yourself, how do you feel like your sports background has prepared you for the fast-paced, high-pressure world of full-cycle recruiting?
I think working in my current job now, there's a lot of performance needed, similar to what we had to do in college with going to practice and having expectations of showing up somewhere, bringing our full self to the gym or to the workout, and then leaving and going to be students. The competitiveness in me never has gone away. And I think recruiting is kind of like sales, as I mentioned before, where you're like competing with other recruiters for the best talent. Obviously, I'm very performance driven. So I'm always like checking to see who is hiring the most people from what company. And I think just the competitive nature of a recruiting job has really translated well from my sports background.
I have so many former athletes here, and it's kind of like the same thing. Even if they don't end up closely related to the sport that they played, it is like, I still want to be competitive. I still want something that drives me. And it's always interesting to see where former athletes land. I say former athlete very seriously.
Retired. We're retired is what I tell people. I used to play basketball. I would
think, yeah. Very, very much so retired. You're a Google alum, a Facebook alum, as well as you boast a couple of other pretty notable companies within your resume. As you look back on your professional history to now your current role, were there any obstacles you can think of that ultimately contributed to you moving on and finding yourself in the startup space?
Yes. Working at really, really large tech companies is great. I can't say enough great things about, you know, the Googles and the Facebooks. Amazing benefits, amazing opportunity to work with some of the smartest people in the world. But those places got to be too big where I felt like I was an ant on an ant farm, right? Like not necessarily special or doing anything differently. And I also wasn't as close to the hiring teams, the actual business or product that I was selling people on. Mm-hmm. So it just got to be very mundane. I was doing the same thing every single day.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm at a startup where I'm like in meetings with the director for a money movement organization. And this director is interfacing with our CEO. So it's just a lot closer to the business. I would say like I have a tremendous amount of gratitude for the experiences that I got working in big tech, you know, learning how to compete with thousands of other recruiters. Now I'm on a team of like five people. I'm the most tenured experience-wise person on my team, which is nice. So they're looking to me for advice and guidance, whereas I had to prove myself at other companies. I don't feel like I have to prove myself that I'm worthy of being where I'm at today, which is really nice.
Yeah.
But it's taken a lot to get to this point.
It's funny. One might think of the previous big tech organizations you worked for and, oh, the recruiting does itself. It's probably a slam dunk of a job. But if it's not something where you're feeling like you're contributing or being able to have some excitement or fun or anything, it's almost the opposite of a slam dunk.
There's a lot of, am I good enough to be here? Am I worthy of this salary that they're paying me? We have performance cycles at these companies. So you're getting put in front of your manager to have them tell you how you performed over the last 6 months and like where you can improve. Very, very intense performance cycles, which if you're not feeling in your day-to-day work that what you're doing is not necessarily significant, but significant for a lack of a better word, yeah, you're going to fall behind and it's hard.
Yeah. A lot of women that join me here in the Booster Club have had to come to grips with their career living in this sort of male dominated space. And I have to imagine that you working in the world of tech have had to acknowledge a similar reality. How do you reconcile that notion of being the only or one of few? And do you feel any sort of responsibility to change the landscape of technical recruiting or the tech world overall to a more diverse or inclusive environment?
Yeah. So tech is very, very white and male, which is interesting. And that's like a whole nother entity, but we can just talk about male driven for now. I'm often the only female in rooms and teams for miles. So walking into a room or a meeting and having to like find a space at the table when we were meeting in person was like intimidating. I often find myself even now, like I'm the only girl. I also like have a sports background. You know, I can talk about sports and all of that, but you have to get people's attention and get people to take you seriously. So some big things for me are always like speaking clearly, being very direct, and like making sure that if I'm raising my hand to make a point, I'm not just talking to talk, but I actually have precision of words of what I'm saying and what I'm trying to say. I do find myself under a microscope more. If I'm the first woman someone's coming across in our industry, how am I presenting? How am I leaving an impact or a mark on that person leaving the room?
Do you feel like because you are a Black woman, you sort of get hit with that burden of having to speak or act or behave on behalf of all Black women?
100%. Having to be on all the time can be very exhausting. But I try to always take a positive perspective. If I'm the only Black woman that someone comes across, I want to like represent us so well that it's like, wow, we need more of her in here. Like, where did she come from? Tell me more about you.
Yeah.
And I actually experienced that a lot more than the negatives. I do have to represent and like explain the nod and, you know, have some cultural references explained to some of my colleagues, but showing other people, Black women, non-Black women, men, everyone, that there is a seat at the table for us and they're having positive experiences with people like me. And there's a lot of us out here that are, you know, yourself, there's a lot of people out here in corporate America doing really, really great things. So any chance I get to shine light on Black women, I will always take that opportunity. And anytime I see a more junior recruiter coming in and like putting time on my calendar, I take that mentorship role like very, very seriously because we need more Black women in tech.
Another topic that typically comes up is centered around salary negotiation. And while we've had some really quality booster conversations around the subject, this is our first time having someone in the booster club whose role literally revolves around the art of negotiating one's salary. So I would love to know how you personally have approached that realm throughout your career, and also what advice you'd give to other women for when they're in that position to negotiate a salary.
Yeah, I'm glad that I can actually talk about this from the ground level. So thank you. I think like going into any sort of salary negotiation, it's really, really important to know like what you want, what your expectations are up front, and have that number. If we're talking specifically about money, sometimes it's not about money. Sometimes it's benefit driven. It's important to have an idea of what you want. And I always tell people that ask me, think about that number and add some more on top of it. I think what a lot of people don't realize is most companies have a range. We call them bands that they can like work within. So they have an idea of what they're going to pay you before they even ask you any sort of questions related to what you want. Knowing what you want will always get you further because they can say, hey, I can meet this or I can beat this or I can't do this. And you're in the same position you're in before you get the job of knowing what you want. So that's my advice. I recently switched jobs within the last 6 months and went through this experience myself. And it's a little different being a candidate, knowing how the recruiting process works, but I had an idea of what I needed to be okay, what I needed to be more than okay, and then what would be like a super, super stretch number. So I actually went between the median and the max. What do I need to be okay? And like, what do I need to be more than okay? And they actually came back and put money on top of what I needed to be more than okay. So I always tell people you have to ask for more because you never know what a company can pay you if you don't ask.
We actually have not had that before in the booster club where someone's like, yeah, I went in and I asked for this and they put more on. Like, that's rare.
It's also different interviewing for a job when you're not looking for a job.
Yeah.
So like a different kind of pressure. I think because I was so serious when it came down to negotiations, it was like, hey, this is what I need to be able to join without equity on the table, right? A lot of these tech companies, they offer equity to their employees. Joining a startup, that's not an option. So I had to figure out what I needed to be to leave a company where I was getting paid equity and joining a company that I wouldn't be able to even think about equity for however long it takes to go public.
I know you enjoy working in the tech space, but as you recently joined a new team, were there any measures you took prior to actually accepting the role that helped you know that this company was one that stands for and presents itself in a way that you can feel morally aligned with?
Yeah, actually all companies have a mission or creed that they like to live up to, certain values or principles. So I, working in the companies that I did, was feeling very unaligned to some of the mission. And in order for me to move to a new space, I had to really feel deeply about the culture and the principles wherever I was going to work next had. And talking to my now company, one of their operating principles is to be humble, which really, really resonated with me because working in tech, you're dealing with people that are very, very entitled to making a lot of money. There's a lot of money coming in and out of these companies. It's very easy to get caught up in like the life, you know, and being humble in everything you do, from talking to people to trying to sell people to finally getting into the company, really, really resonated with me. And the recruiter actually told me about that upon our first phone call. So then after that, I did a little bit more research on some of the other principles. And One of the other ones was no entitlement, which is amazing for a tech company.
Right.
So there's a lot of entitlement involved with some of these people that you're interfacing with, talking about money, especially as a recruiter. There's a lot of entitlement involved.
Okay, we are very much celebrating Black History Month here in the Booster Club. And in the spirit of that celebration, I have a few questions specifically around the topic. First one, what do you specifically think of when you think about Black History Month?
Besides the fact that it's the shortest month of the calendar year, a month to just reflect upon how far we've come as a Black collective community. And even with recent events and things in the news, you could get very caught up in what's happening now. But I like to think of how far we've come from the abolition of slavery, or even just being brought over here from Africa, enslaved, to where we're at now. It really should be a celebration. And I'm happy that a majority of the companies and like people in the industry do take a moment to celebrate Black history. So I find it as a time of celebration.
That 28-day month thing, we can revisit that maybe as a whole new podcast for that.
Yes.
What role has being a Black woman played throughout your career?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think often being in a space where I'm the only woman, let alone the only Black woman, at first was super, super intimidating early on in my career. I'm almost 10 years in the tech industry, which is kind of nuts, but here we are. And even 10 years later, I'm still the only Black woman in a majority of these spaces, which is an honor and a privilege, but also kind of sad. There's so much more work to be done with hiring more diverse workforce. I find myself in positions of having to push diversity hires, and I'm at the front lines of like hiring and making sure we're hiring great people. So I feel like very empowered being able to impact the diversity numbers at these tech spaces.
I feel like that is like one of the key roles of your job that really talks into the importance of what you do, is that you understand the importance of diversity in this workforce and you work in that manner.
I have an opportunity to directly impact the business and bring more people that look like me into our company or these companies.
Lastly, inclusive of professional, personal, all the things, what does being a Black woman mean to you overall?
So two words come to mind, proud and rare. I think we don't get the light shined on us in the best of ways. And I, again, like to take a more positive spin. And there's only one me, there's only one you. And it's an opportunity to really change people's minds or whatever preconceived notion there is of Black women. Come talk to me and then we can chat about your opinion after. So maybe that's that sports background or competitiveness. I kind of like to spin it on its head and be like, let's change your mind about Black women. If you have a negative opinion or if you have a positive opinion, let's build on top of that. So
yeah, I actually really love that about you because you are way more patient in that conversation than I am. And
that's a whole nother podcast topic. Yeah, but
we got two other podcasts brewing outside of this one, but I can personally attest to your patience and grace to the conversation around Black women and making it a more positive one and behaving in that manner to where it's not just your words that are speaking for how proud you are to be a Black woman and how rare and beautiful it is to be a Black woman.
Well, thank you. That's nice.
All right. You have survived to this point. We're now at the Booster Up segment, which I already know you're familiar with. So if you're ready, I'm just going to dive right in.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We all know the journey includes a spectrum of peaks and valleys, highs and lows along the way. What is a significant low that you faced along your journey, and how do you feel like you best made it through?
I touched upon this a little bit at the beginning about performance cycles in tech. And at my previous company, this was really, really early on in my career there. So probably like one of my first two performance reviews. And I was killing it in terms of making hires and just crushing my overall numeric goal or like metrics. But the performance review that I received was very negative and I was gutted. These performance reviews are tied to your performance bonus and the ability to move up and be promoted and move teams, like internal mobility. So the rating was actually really bad. And this was the first bad review that I received. And it was more revolved around my quote unquote soft skills, how I was collaborating with people and how I was showing up in meetings and things. And the feedback that was given was, I need to be more present and I need to speak up more and not be so competitive, you know? So it was tough feedback, right? I was very upset, but I took it and immediately applied it, right? It was very easy to change that, show up to a meeting and change my body language or sit in a different part of the table or raise my hand and speak up about something that I see is wrong or great. That really actually stays with me now. Somebody is always watching. Somebody's always taking mental note of how I'm showing up. I think about that every day that I enter a meeting, I enter a room, somebody's just always paying attention.
Just based on what we've talked about throughout this conversation, could you attribute that to being one of few or the only?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I asked my manager at the time, would we be having these conversations if I were not a woman? And he was very perplexed. But in order to continue to like move up through the company, I had to change how I was being observed, right? So I had to make some adjustments. And I think overall it was positive, but yeah, there's an extra bright spotlight on you when you're either the only woman and always the only Black woman in a space.
Yeah, it's a push and pull, isn't it? Because you want to be your authentic female Black self, but because for lack of a better term, but because you're working in this space that doesn't have much experience with your female Black self, you do get under this microscope and you do get scrutinized a little bit differently than the people that they're more comfortable with. And I think your decision to sort of twist that in a way that benefits you is great and it worked for you. I mean, I know it's something that a lot of Black women struggle with.
Yeah, there's a lot of workplace bias is what it's like, I guess the pinpointed term for, but there's a lot of microaggressions that occur in the workplace. But I always like to take feedback and take criticism and apply it in ways that will help me be better. This is the feedback I was given, whether it was biased or not, let's just try and be better and keep that top of mind whenever I'm entering any sort of new space or just a space in general.
I think that's why we're friends, because I get that feedback and I'm flipping tables and I'm how dare you? And you're like, okay, let me take this in, let me make it work. But that's also another podcast.
So we're at three now.
We got some work to do once we hang up here. Lastly, how about a significant high along your journey? And what growth do you feel like was required of you to reach that particular peak?
I think a significant peak for me has been that I was able to become a people manager, which I worked really, really hard to get to that point. So you have to not only do well in your recruiting role, but you also have to make meaningful relationships with people and establish your own brand. It took longer than I would have liked it to take to become a people manager, because you have to get a lot of buy-in to get people to trust you, to make a name for yourself as a recruiter. But my main goal for being a people manager was just to show people that a Black girl can manage at a big tech company. Right. And it was almost like climbing the mountain. And I got to the top of the mountain to manage people and realized there's like 10 other mountains that need to be climbed in the background. But it is, you know, significant for me just because there's a lot of career growth that comes with managing people. You actually have an impact on how hiring happens. I'm in the room for performance review cycle, so I'm actually able to call out bias as it's being just thrown around a room. So yeah, that was like probably one of my biggest achievements. I actually ended up managing 12 people at once, which that's another podcast spin off. Having to manage 12 people at one time is nuts, but I was really happy to do that.
I think that there couldn't be a better person to be in this space advocating for people of color, advocating for women. It sounds like your previous companies did recognize that, but I'm glad you're in a place where you feel more recognized for your skills and your strengths and what you bring to the table.
Yeah, thank you. I think smaller is always best for impact. The smaller a place is, the more people will listen to you and the less noise there is with just a bunch of other moving parts, right? I'm the beginning of a hyper growth company. So I actually get to move some things along, which is really nice.
Before I let you go, any last things you want to say?
If anyone ever needs help with salary negotiations, you can find me on LinkedIn, Ashley Booker. The reason I'm in the position that I'm in is because there was someone at some point that reached out and said, hey, let me help you. Let me refer you. Let's have a conversation about what it takes to work in this space. And any way that I can give back or help people get into this space, I'm more than willing to help.
I love that. And I know you will definitely have some booster listeners in your inbox.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for listening to Boost Her. Conversations designed to inspire you, me, and her. With Ashley being an influential voice amongst the minority within her space, we will continually follow all of the positive steps she is taking to increase diversity within the world of tech. To follow and cheer Ashley on along with us, or if you're just in need of important salary negotiation tips, feel free to give us a follow on Instagram at BoostHerPodcast, all one word. Black History Month is just beginning in the Booster Club, and I promise we have a very exciting month of celebration ahead of us. To make sure you're locked in to the amazing and inspiring Black women planning to join us this month, be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Again, thank you for listening to Boost Her, where we will happily pull up a seat at the table for you as a reminder that while individually we may be great, collectively, we are magic.